This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Before I start, I'm going to pick on a few people. All these brothers who are sitting at the back, and you all come as close as possible, inshallah ta'ala. I'm sure you don't have any back problems. I'm going to ask you a question. How far was Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting from him? Listen very carefully to the question. How far was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam when Jibreel came to seek knowledge from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Huh? As the brother mentioned, وَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. His knees were touching the knees of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What do we learn from that? Huh? The guy with the green. Huh? In a gathering, when somebody comes over to give you some knowledge, or you're learning knowledge, you should try and sit as close as possible. And this is from the etiquette of somebody who is a student of knowledge trying to attain or acquire some knowledge from somebody else. Okay. As you are aware, inshallah ta'ala, the discussion today will be about alternatives to CC scams. Something that has become prevalent in certain places more than others. Finally, Leicester, the place that I just came from, we've got 17-year-olds driving 18-plated cars, top-of-the-range Range Rovers, BMWs, Mercedes, Audis. The top cars that you are able to find in this dunya is being driven by the most youngest amongst us. All of this, my brothers and sisters, because what? They decided to take a path in acquiring haram, and through that they decided to live their lives. I remember a brother said to me that a young boy came up to me and he said to him, I've got £200,000, I don't know what to do with it, what should I do with it? This is maybe a 17-year-old. In Leicester, he came up to me and he said to him that I've got 200k, what should I do with it? Brother now all of a sudden realized that this money is not going to last long. And this is the reality when it comes to haram money. Recently a brother came up to me when I was in London and he said to me that he just done a CC scam and he's about to go pick up £8,000. And he's asking me, Ustad, what shall I do? What do you advise me to do? We're going to come on to it later on, inshallah ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, some of us may have tried our utmost best in calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him to change the state of our children. I know parents that are shouting from the top of their throats, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change the state of their kids. But the response doesn't seem to be coming. Maybe some of us today here can relate to it. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about an individual. يُطِيلُ السَّفَرْ أَشْعَثُ أَغْبَرْ يَمُدُّ يَدِهِ لَلسَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّ يَا رَبِّ وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَّ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Messenger sallallahu told us about an individual who was on a very long journey. أَشْعَثُ أَغْبَرْ. You could see that he was dirty and dusty because of him traveling. And this is the state of somebody who is traveling in between mountains and also deserts. The Arabian Peninsula back in the day, my brother and sister, they didn't have the lovely Virgin Atlantic that we have that takes us from place to place. Or Qatar Airways, Saudi Airlines, where you can sit first class and you're going to reach your destination and you're, it's as if like you're back home, you know? They would be walking in the deserts for days. So this individual, my brother and sister, you can see that He was dusty, he was dirty because of his travels. Ash'athu aghbar. Yamuddu yadayhi ila as-sama. He stretched out his hands to Allah Azza wa Jal. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. Calling unto Allah Azza wa Jal because he was needy. But then the Messenger tells us his food was haram. Also, his drink was haram. Also, his clothes were haram. This individual's life was revolving around haram. Then the Messenger said, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَبْ لَهُ. How does this individual think that he's going to be responded back to? He ate haram, my brothers and sisters. And if we look closely at the hadith, this man, he came with means to get his dua accepted. Because there's different things that a person can do normally if he wants to get his dua accepted or responded back to. Firstly, he was a traveler. When you're on your travels, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاتٍ مُسْتَجَابَاتٍ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ. Three supplications are always responded back to. And there's no doubt in it. And the ones that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned was دَعْوَةُ الْمُسَافِرِ. The supplication of the person who is traveling. Not only that, my brothers and sisters. He also raised his hands. Do you know that if you raise your hands up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that, it's a means that Allah azza wa jalla might respond back to you straight away? Hadith Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ حَيِّيٌّ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِهِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ أَنْ يَرُدُّهُمَا سِفْرًا. Allah is shy, He's generous. That when His servant stretches out His hands to Him, that He won't send him back empty-handed. So if you're sitting at home and you do this to Allah Azza wa Jal, it's a means of getting your dua accepted. He didn't stop there. He said, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb. Saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabb, calling unto Allah Azza wa Jal and saying, My Lord, My Lord, it's from the means again of getting your dua accepted. If you look at the end of Al Imran, the chapter called Al Imran, you find that there is a series of verses, Rabbana, 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 and then in the end, what does Allah Azza wa Jal say? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal responded back to them when they were saying, Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana. Which means, My Lord, My Lord, My Lord. Not only that, my brothers and sisters, he was a mulih. He was calling unto Allah Azza wa Jal with ilhah. When you constantly ask Allah Azza wa Jal, you asked him for something today. Maybe your dua wasn't responded back to, and then you've done it tomorrow, and then you've done it again. It's from the means of getting your dua accepted. And he constantly repeated his dua. Also, my brothers and sisters, he was a muhtar, as some of the scholars mentioned. He was in dire need. Even a kafir, a non-Muslim, if he is in dire need, in a state of necessity, and he calls unto Allah Azza wa Jal, it is expected for him to have his supplication responded back to. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِلَى دَعَى. مَنْ مِنَ الْفَاضِ الْعُمُومِ. From the words that indicate generality. Here Allah Azza wa Jal said, whoever. So anybody, if he's in a dire state of necessity and he calls unto Allah Azza wa Jal, it is expected that his dua is accepted and responded back to straight away. So this individual, my brother and sister, he came with a number of things, but because he ate haram, he wasn't responded back to. I tell this to parents all the time. Something that might be very prevalent in some of our communities is that they do something called benefit fraud. You know what benefit fraud is? Benefit fraud? Cheating the government, lying to them, saying that she is single. Her husband's living with her. They're living in the same house. But they claim to the government that they are separate, so she can claim more money. I used to say to the parents, as they say in Somali. Wherever the camel walks, you find that the children of the camel are going to walk the same direction. Mom, uncle, auntie, why are you complaining? You're doing the exact same thing. And then tomorrow, you're going to maybe be disappointed, you're going to be upset. But your own child is just doing the exact same thing that you're doing. Except that the way that the fraud is taking place is a bit different. And also, my brothers and sisters, let us not be surprised tomorrow if our kids do it. I'm talking to these wonderful faces here today. It's easy. If I wanted to become a millionaire, I know how to become a millionaire, but through haram means. But I know that I am doing what? I am cultivating, I'm nurturing my children, the people around me in a haram way. And then tomorrow, they're going to do the exact same thing. It surprises me how the smoker, he tells his kid, don't smoke. And he's seeing him day and night, late and when a haram smoke. How do you expect the kid's going to change? And my brother said, قليل البركة. That money won't last long. And I'm telling you, from experience, having haram money is only ayyam. You find that the sweetness is very what? Limited. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us something very, very serious. لا يدخل الجنة لحم نبتت من سحت. A piece of flesh that has been produced through haram won't enter into al-jannah. Because you ate haram. It may have been that you done scams, or may have been that you stole something. It may have been you worked in a type of job that produced haram, and so on and so forth. As you can see through these narrations, maybe we're sitting here today like, I've tried so hard, I keep calling on to Allah Azza wa Jal, but a response doesn't seem to be coming. But then you realize, okay, maybe it's because I am taking a mortgage. Or maybe because I'm involved in a job which involves haram. Because of that, our kids have driven us crazy and there doesn't seem to be a solution. This is why, my brothers and sisters, there's a number of alternatives. There's no point me sitting here banging on about that this is haram and this is not haram. We all understand that some of the things that I mentioned nowadays are things that are unlawful to us. But what about alternatives? My brother says, Wallahi al-Azim, by Allah, if you take these practical actions and apply it in your life, I guarantee you, and we will meet in the future. I've told this to a number of people who came and sought my advice. Tell me, inshallah ta'ala, where you're going to be in a year's time. But I want you now to leave of this haram and do X, Y, and Z. All of these are means of getting more money. You want to be a millionaire? Then listen up today. Bill Gates can give you some advice, but this is prophetic advice. You know Bill Gates? Huh? Who is Bill Gates?
Microsoft.
Oh, everybody knows him. Bill Gates can give you some advice. It might be beneficial to you. But there's nothing like what? The speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ. Nobody can give you information like Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Allah tells you in the Quran, فَاسْأَلْ بِهِ خَبِيرًا. Ask the one who knows. Who's the teacher of Bill Gates? Who's the one that taught him all the information? Huh? Come on, guys. Huh? Who taught Bill Gates? Really, guys? Who's the one that teaches everyone? وَفَوْخَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't think that was hard, was it? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives and takes, teaches and deprives. قُلِ اللَّهُمَ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. It's Allah Azza wa Jalla who gives and takes, who teaches and deprives. You see? وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all that information was gifted to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you still find that what? وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. Few are those who are grateful. And he's from those who are ungrateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. So inshallah ta'ala, moving on to some of these means of how to get an increase in provision. And like I said, my brothers and sisters, I was expecting everybody to come with a pen and paper. I don't think anybody in Accrington is like Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, was able to absorb all the information that is going to be mentioned today. These are 10 important aspects that take it home today and start applying in your life. The first thing is, my brothers and sisters, iqamatu salati lillah. Establishing the prayer solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we find, my brothers and sisters, we might be working, we might have a shop open, we feel like that if we was to close the shop for the jama'ah, we're going to lose out on a few customers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the complete opposite. That the way life works is, that if you come with the salah, it's likely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to increase in provision. And there's a number of examples that the Qur'an tells us about. The Qur'an is there, my brothers and sisters, for us to reflect and act upon. It's not a bedtime story. The qisas, the story is in there. فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتْفَكَّرُونَ Tell them about the story so they can reflect. The first ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this very thing, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, command your family members with the salah and also be patient upon it. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ We don't ask you for provision, we are the ones who are going to provide for you. So look what Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he said based on this ayah. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ يعني إِذَا أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةَ أَتَاكَ الرِّزْقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَحْتَسِبْ Meaning, if you come with the prayer and you fulfill it accordingly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gift you with provision from where you don't expect it. Because of what? Because of the salah. But if we place hurricane before the salah, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be there for us at the time when we need it. Today the khutbah that I done in Bradford, it was about hurricane. You guys know hurricane? Huh? It was about Messi and Ronaldo. And it was about prioritizing Allah Azza wa Jal. And I was giving the example of the World Cup this year. Some of the England games was clashing with what? Maghrib time. When the game went to extra time a couple of times, I think the Colombia game, and also the semi-final when they were out, I remember when I was in Newcastle, some of the brothers were saying, Inshallah, somebody's going to lose. Oh Allah, make somebody lose. Why? So the people come to the masjid, and because I had a lecture after Maghrib, and had they gone on to penalties, maybe nobody's going to turn up. Penalties, sa'ab ala nafs. Everybody wants to watch it, even the neutral wants to watch it. So people were like, Alhamdulillah, you know, as soon as somebody lost, everybody came to the masjid. Likewise, I remember when it was the knockout stages, everybody was going crazy around my area. Extra time just finished, and it was a time of Maghrib. I go to the masjid is nearly empty. We chose hurricane, even though we might say with our tongues, what? Allahu Akbar, which means Allah is the greatest. But if I leave the salah to the side, and then I carry on watching hurricane or Messi or Ronaldo and Mbappe, the new guy on the scene, right? Huh? The new guy on the scene. And I choose to sit in front of him, and I put secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as secondary in my life. Is that something that's really right? Am I really... meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than hurricane, or is it the other way around? Can you see, my brothers and sisters? Huh? Another example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us is the story of Maryam alayhi salatu wassalam. وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا قال يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب Like every time Zakaria entered upon Maryam in her mihrab, her place of worship, he would find provision. He would find provision with Maryam عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then he would ask her, يا مريم, where did you get this provision from? She would say, إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal provides for whoever he wills, from where they don't expect it. The Mufassirun, they say, فَلَوْلَا صَلَاةُ مَرْيَمَ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ وَمُدَاوَمَتُهَا عَلَيْهَا لَمَا نَالَتْ هَذَا الرِّزْقِ And had it not been for her consistently praying in her place of worship, she wouldn't have found this provision that kept on coming her way. الَّذِي دَهَشَ لَهُ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ زَكَرِيَّا But Zakaria, every time he would unexpectedly see this and he would become shocked. A third textual evidence, my brothers and sisters. We know that Zakaria alayhi salatu wasalam was suffering from what? Does anybody know the story of Zakaria? He wanted something really, really badly.
Children.
Huh?
Children.
Couldn't have a child. His wife was barren, she was old, and even him became very, very old. وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, grey hair started growing on his hair, on his head. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, he called unto Allah azza wa jal, asking him to gift him with offspring that were righteous. إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. كَيْفَ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for him? وَأَيْنَ بَشَّرَهُ بِذَلِكَ. And how also, or where did he give him these glad tidings, this great news that he was going to have a child called Yahya? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّ فِي الْمِحْرَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَا مُصَدِّقًا بِكَلِمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. The malaika, they called out to him. Where was he standing? He was standing in his prayer. That he was now going to be gifted with what? A child called Yahya. I received quite a few emails every now and again about people struggling to have children. He's been trying maybe for 3-4 years. Doesn't seem to be happening. Doesn't require rocket science to understand. Just need a bit of investigation, a couple of questions that you ask a person, what kind of life are you living? Sometimes the guy says, Akhi, I don't pray. Go and pray, and exactly what will happen to Zakariya, hopefully that will happen to you as well. And it's a means of getting more and more in your provision. The next sabab, it's going to get more interesting inshaAllah ta'ala. Taqwa Allah ta'ala. To come with taqwa. We always hear taqwa, 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 and it means fear, right? That's what most people think. But the word taqwa, my brothers and sisters, is much, much more comprehensive than that. It means فعل الطاعات واجتناب المنهيات. Ma ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, أن تجعل بينك وبين ما تخافه وقاية تقيه منه. Is that you place a barrier between you and that which you really fear. A barrier that will protect you from that which you really fear. And what is that barrier? Imagine you're in the middle of a battle. Are you going to be going out with your chest like that? Are you going to have a shield, right? You're going to have a shield when a battle takes place. Unless you're a big guy and you work out. You want to show everybody and scare them with your body. Huh? But you're going to have what? A shield. That's what normally tends to take place. So this shield is, my brothers and sisters, فعل الطاعات واجتناب المنهيات. To do what Allah Azza wa Jalla told you to do, and to stay away from the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla told you to stay away from. You, and who are you scared of? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're scared of His punishment. And through doing what I just told you, my brothers and sisters, just always being God conscious. When you're maybe in the middle of the night, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. You have in the back of your mind, even though the doors have closed, the curtains are locked, nobody's looking, your parents are fast asleep. But then you remember Allah Azza wa Jalla that He's watching. And you're not going to start looking at these filthy images on your phone, under your blanket. Because of maybe you staying away from that sin, it's a means that Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to open up doors for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Whoever comes with taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up doors for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And he will provide for him from where he doesn't expect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us about nations that he destroyed. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Had the people of the village come with taqwa, come with a taqwa, he would have opened blessings for them. Blessings of the heavens and likewise the earth. If only they came with taqwa, they'd done what they were told to come with. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was asked about taqwa. And he said something very, very interesting. فَقَالْ هَلْ أَخَذْتَ طَرِيقًا ذَا شَوْكٍ. Have you ever taken a path which had a lot of thorns in the path that he was taking? قال نعم. So the man that asked that question, he said yes. قال فكيف صنعت. What did you do? He said, قَالَ إِذَا رَأَيْتُ شَوْكَ عَزَلْتُ عَنْهُ أَوْ جَاوَزْتُ وَقَصَرْتُ عَنْهُ. Every time I saw a thorn, I would try to step over it and I would try to avoid it as much as I could. He goes, this is taqwa. That's how one should behave towards it. السبب الثالث, and this is one of my favorite ones. شكر الله تعالى. To thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which He gifted you with. It's something very, very simple. And most people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ شَكُرُ. Few are those who are thankful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, has promised you, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Your Lord has proclaimed that if you are thankful, He will increase you in your wealth. Wallahi al-Azim, I've seen a number of people when I have discussions with them. I ask him, oh, what do you do? He goes, Akhi, I'm earning minimum wage. Wallahi, that's nothing. Akhi, some people don't even have minimum wage. Instead of saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal faddalani ala kathir min khalqi. He has favored me over many of His creation. Wallahi, Akhi, man, you know, just £6. I think it's increased now, right? How much is it now? 750? Huh? I think last year was £6. Some people are on job seekers allowance. Even the guy who's on job seekers allowance is getting 250 a month. Akhi, some people are just crying out for maybe him earning 200, 300 pounds a month. And he doesn't have that. Because maybe he's new to the country. Crying out. Begging on the streets. This is why, my brothers and sisters, this is a principle in our life that we should place. And the Messenger of Allah told us in the Hadith of Abu Hurairah, that was narrated by Imam Muslim, انظروا إلى من هو أسفل منكم ولا تنظروا إلى من هو فوق فهو أجدر ألا تزدروا نعمة الله. نعمة الله. Look at those below you, don't look at those above you. Why? That will make you more thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever you're going through some sort of calamity, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there's people who are far more unfortunate than you. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, guys, as came hadith Aisha, دخل عن بيسا ذات يوم فقال عندكم شيء قلنا لا قال فإني إذن صائم. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, one time she said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon us and he said, is there any food in the house? He goes, no. He goes, okay, if that's the case, I'm going to go and fast. Imagine walking in your homes and you open the fridge and there's nothing there. Really, this is the state of many people in our world today. That's a sad reality, my brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and time again, He tells us, وَذْكُرُوا آلَاءَ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Remember the great blessings of Allah so that you may be successful. I'll tell you guys of a story of a brother. Story time. I know sometimes you've got to bring this in. There was this brother that I knew, Talib Ilm, who just came back from abroad. Normally in this country, you need two things in order to get a job. You need experience, and what else?
Degree.
Degree. If you've got a certificate, you might get somewhere, and also that which is better today than a certificate is what? It's experience. Huh? Connection, that's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, you can get anything if you've got connections. Allah understand. Ala kulli, he came back and he would tell me this, like he's a bit of a freshie. Doesn't have any experience, doesn't even know how to apply for a job. Thought about printing out his CV and then handing it out to the shops. And obviously that's something that is very old fashioned. You know, everybody tells you, go what? Apply online now. So he comes back, he just doesn't know what he's doing. He's for a whole year, guys. Everybody around him was working in that Argos warehouse, coming out with back problems, doing hamal. And he's just wishing, I've only had this job. He's talking to people, they're saying, wallahi, akhi, it's just minimum wage. That's rubbish, man. I wish I had something else. Instead of saying, alhamdulillah. Ala kulli, to cut a very long story short, for a whole year, he was looking, making dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. Nothing seems to be happening. All of a sudden now, goes through an agency and gets a job. This brother obviously studied a bit, right? And he thanks Allah Azza wa Jal. What did I mention to you earlier? If you thank him, what happens? your rizq increases. You get more money. That's how it works. So he gets the job, minimum wage, alhamdulillah, people work in a warehouse, right? He's working in an office. He's relaxed. He's trying to get married as well. He's been outside, you know, seeking knowledge. The guy comes back roasting. Huh? Needs a job right now. Of course, this guy is not going to be messing around in his job, right? He thanks Allah Azza wa Jal, and he gets sacked 2 weeks later. After maybe like a whole year, he was looking. And he's thinking to himself, Allah Azza wa Jal tells me in the Quran, and I firmly believe that, وَعْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدًا. The promise of Allah Azza wa Jal, he does not fail in his promise. And remember earlier I said to you, the guy doesn't have no qualifications, and he has no what? Degree. It's like a farah. طيب. Couple of weeks later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifts him with a £9 an hour job. That's a big difference now. I think it was like £9.30. So obviously that's a big jump from £6 something all the way to £9. And still he doesn't have no degree, and he has just a bit of experience, and he was sacked. And he's thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal again. 2 years he's working there, and then all of a sudden now, his manager changes. They're trying to push him towards the exit. Trying to change things around. And he's thinking to himself, it's already happened once. I thanked Allah Azza wa Jal, and he does not fail in his promise. Gets pushed towards the exit door. I know this brother now, he does not work. And he's earning more than his supervisor. And he has no degree, and he has no experience. Well, obviously now he's got a bit of experience. But the point of the matter is, from coming or from being in a situation where his situation was so difficult, and that now he's working from home, and he doesn't need to be running around and living the box life, because of what? Being grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. Sometimes also, my brothers and sisters, and this is a very important point. The scholars, they mention this, like Imam Al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Asayru lillahi wa dar al-akhirah. Under the line of poetry, شَكَرُ الَّذِي أَوْلَى الْخَلَائِقَ فَضْلَهُ بِالْقَلْبِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَرْكَانِ. When he explained this, he said that sometimes you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes something from your life that you really, really love. Sometimes you love this girl so much, but Allah Azza wa Jal takes her out of your life. And you think to yourself, really, like, this was a blessing. Little do you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have in store for you that which is much better for you in your dunya and likewise the akhirah. It's like a blessing in disguise. It's happened to many. They were married, he really, really loved her. She disappeared from his life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with a better wife, and also he started studying abroad in Medina. And had he still been married to that same sister, things may have been much, much more difficult. Rather, we say, my brothers, alhamdulillah. Even sometimes when we lose something, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Also, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, فَمَا حُفِظَ بْنِعْمَةُ اللَّهِ بِشَيْءٍ قَطْ مِثْلُ طَاعَتِهِ. There isn't a way to preserve the blessings that you have other than being obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا حُصِلَتْ فِيهَا زِيَادَةُ بِمِثْلِ شُكْرِهِ. And there isn't a way better than getting more of an increase in your provision than being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal. So if you've already been blessed and you want that to remain, be somebody who consistently obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger. And that's the way to preserving what you have. السبب الرابع, and I'm going to try and be quick here, inshaAllah ta'ala. The fourth reason is طلب العلم, seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge. Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala narrates on the authority of Anas Malik radiallahu ta'ala, كان أخواني على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكان أحدهما يأتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والآخر يحترف. There was two brothers in the time of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. One of them used to work and one of them used to attend the gatherings of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فشكى المحترف أخاه إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The guy who was always working went and complained to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm the one that's working, he is just chilling in your gatherings. فَقَالَ لَهُ لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ. Perhaps you, the one that's working, is being gifted with much provision because of the one who's seeking knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing your provision and giving you an increase because of him, because of the barakah that comes with him seeking knowledge. I remember my teacher who taught me Nahu, taught me Arabic grammar. He would tell me this. He goes, the moment I started seeking knowledge, my brothers who had this metal company back in Saudi Arabia, their fortunes changed. All of a sudden now they started getting more customers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started sending down abundant provision onto them. And they knew this hadith. They would say to him, stay in Damaj, stay in the Yemen, carry on seeking knowledge. Stay there, we'll send you money, don't worry about it. And other brothers as well. Their fortunes, the family's fortunes started changing because of him seeking knowledge. Sometimes the parent doesn't understand, he tells his kid to come back. And when he does come back, things start changing again. But maybe because of his son studying, it may have been the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened doors of provision for the father, the breadwinner of the house. As-sabab al-khamis, fifth, means of getting an increase in provision. And I mentioned this today in the khutbah, in Bradford. At-targhibu fi al-zuhdi fi al-dunya وَالْإِعْرَاضُ عَنْهَا وَالْرَغْبَةُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَالْإِقْبَالُ عَلَيْهَا. Summarization. Being somebody who doesn't make the dunya his main priority, but the akhirah is his main objective in life. The akhirah is his main objective. Everything in this dunya is revolving around Allah Azza wa Jalla, not the other way around. Allah is first. I'm going to chase after Allah Azza wa Jalla. And because of me making the akhirah my main priority, everything else will come second. And you will find that Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless your wealth abundantly. We've got a twisted understanding of the dunya. We think to ourselves that we keep chasing it, we're going to get somewhere in life. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وما ينطق عن الهوى, who doesn't speak out of his own desires, he told us the opposite. Have you not noticed, guys, the 9-to-5 box life? A guy works from 9-to-5, 5 days a week. At the end of the month, when he picks up his wage, he always ends up, or in most cases, he ends up what? At zero. After he spent all his expenses, he's paid for the rent, he's paid for the bills, he just comes back to zero and he just feels like he's not getting anywhere in life. He can't save anything up. And you've exerted all your efforts in trying to chase the dunya. And we feel like that this is the only way to life. And this is what the system has made us think in such a way. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا هَمَّهُ فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرًا وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. Whoever makes the dunya his main priority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place poverty in between his eyes. And he will make his affairs fall apart. وَلَمْ يَأْتِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبُ لَهُ. And the dunya won't come to him except that which was written down for him. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ نِيَّتَهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَمْرَهُ وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِبَةٌ. And whoever makes the akhirah his main priority, that's constantly on his mind. He wakes up, he's thinking about how I can please Allah Azza wa Jal. How can I get to Al-Jannah? You can work as much as you like, no problem. It's part of life. But the akhirah is your main priority. جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَوْ أَمْرَهُ. Allah will bring his affairs together. وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. He will place richness in his heart and the dunya will be dragged to him. He's just thinking about Allah, you're going to find that doors are going to open up for him all the time. And the dunya will come running after him. And it happens. I've seen this happen to some mashayikh who sought knowledge. Yes, at the same time, they obviously were thinking about the dunya. Many things would be gifted to them. Doors would just open up left, right and center. This guy is only chasing the akhirah. And Allah Azza wa Jal can see that. إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا. As Allah says, if He sees that goodness in your heart, you trying to do well, Allah Azza will gift you with that. A As-sabab al-sadis, point number six. And again, this is one of my most favorite ones. And I go on about it all the time. Tarku shay'in lillah. Leaving off something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Somebody is involved in haram. He knows that it's unlawful for him to do such an act. He leaves it off because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to gift him with that which is better. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala narrated a narration min hadith Abi Qatadah wa Abi Dahma qala kana yukthirani as-safar nahwa hadha al-bayt. They always used to travel to the Kaaba. Qala atayna ala rajulin min ahli al-badiyah. We came to a Bedouin. Faqala al-Bedouin, the Bedouin said, أخذ بيدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل يعلمني مما علمه الله. So this Bedouin is telling them, there was a time when the Messenger of Allah took him by the hand. And he started teaching him from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقال, إنك لن تدع شيئا اتقاء لله إلا أعطاك الله خيرا منه. You don't leave something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the taqwa. Accept that He will gift you with that which is better. Because of what? You living off for the sake of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not failed in His promise. وَلَن يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدًا. I can tell you stories after stories after stories after stories, and I might get overexcited, and I tend to do that sometimes. We say it for hours talking about it. If you go onto my Facebook, just, not yesterday, the day before, one of the sisters that I teach sent me a very long letter of how she left her nursing job because it wasn't coinciding with the Islamic dress code. How she went through troubles, and then later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her a job that was far, far greater. She was earning more money and she was working from her home. She left it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. But there's stories that are, subhanAllah, far, far greater. You might want to read that, inshaAllah ta'ala. Either go to my Instagram or go to my Facebook. I posted it the other day because she requested, so, you know, other people can benefit from it. I remember I had a friend. His name is Suhail. And his wife's name is May. They were my neighbors. They were very good to me. They came on Hajj with me a couple of times. I remember this brother. He was working in accounting. He was doing a riba. You know what riba is? He was writing down interest. And we know, as the Messenger of Allah taught Hadith Jabir, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبُ وَشَاهِدِ وَقَالَهُمْ سَوَاءٌ. Narrated by Muslim. Messenger of Allah cursed the one who takes the riba, the one who gives the riba, the one who writes it down, and the one who is a witness to it. All of them are the same. Messenger of Allah told us. Sure, my brothers and sisters, we wouldn't want to be waging a war with Allah Azza wa Jal. Imagine you walking onto the road or getting onto the battlefield and saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what? Come on then. And in simple terms, that's exactly the person who goes and takes riba is actually doing. Allah tells him in the Quran, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You don't leave off riba, you are proclaiming a war with Allah Azza wa Jal. You're starting a war with Him. You're telling Allah Azza wa Jal, come on then. Let's start a war. Let's start a fight. He knew that. I remember he went through some difficulty. Some of his family members were saying to him, Akhi, what's this guy? He's such a bum at home all the time. Why is he not going outside and working? And he knew this hadith. I told him this hadith when he saw my advice. He left it. Most guys, my brothers and sisters, when they go to Saudi Arabia to teach English, they normally get jobs in places like Riyadh. As Sheikh Abu Abdulaziz will tell you. Places like Riyadh, Abha, just Dammam, very far places or very far cities from the Haramain. Because when you go to Saudi Arabia, you want to keep going to places like Mecca and Medina. That's the main objective normally for a lot of people when they go there. And I firmly believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him and his wife a job in Mecca. In Mecca, guys. and they were earning somewhat like, what, £22,000 a year? Tax-free. Here in this country, we work for the government. We all work for the government. Whenever we get a job, we have to give a big chunk of that to tax. There's no tax over there. I remember he used to phone me, tell me how much he was chilling, would be going to the Kaaba like every other day, relaxing. And I believe he has something to do with, and this is the statement of the Messenger, because he left it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah gifted him with that which is far greater. Remember there was another brother as well, his name is Najib, he was my neighbor. He was working for Carphone Warehouse, and he would travel there 30 minutes every single day. When you keep traveling 30 minutes, it tends to what? Huh? It adds up. It costs quite, you know, expenses. It becomes quite costly. So what happened, my brothers and sisters, was all of a sudden now they introduced insurance. Insurance. And he told the man, you know, I can't be selling insurance. It goes against my religion. I can't do that. So he was, you know, between two thoughts, two minds. Came to me, I gave him the exact same hadith. And I remember, subhanAllah as well, he just had gotten married. Normally when you get married, you know, the girl, she wants to be taken out to ice cream, you know, parlors, she wants to be taken out to restaurants, she wants the Louis Vuitton and the Dolce & Gabbana bags. She's newly wedded. Becomes quite costly, your pocket hurts. Huh? I remember, wallahi, I would see him at dhuhr time, sitting in the masjid, making these very sincere du'as, supplications, asking Allah Azza wa to help him. I remember Allah Azza wa gifted him a couple of weeks later, not a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months later, where he was only driving to his work. He started working in a place called British Gas, 10 minutes, 10 minutes. And I told you before, he was traveling for half an hour, so he beats the traffic at 5 o'clock. And he was earning maybe 3-4,000 pounds more a year than his previous job. Why? لِأَنَّهُ تَرَكَ ذَلِكَ لِلَّهِ. He left it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Say Allahumma barik before you afflict with evil eye. Huh? Huh? Point of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, I can sit here and tell you so many stories, bro. These are just some. Point number seven. Number eight, you're all going to love, inshallah ta'ala. Point number seven is a dua. Normally when I give farewell messages to a lot of people that I really love, I always advise them with three things to introduce into their lives. The first one is being thankful. The second one is doing dua. Second one is what? Doing a dua. And the third one is helping people. Because you help people, Allah subhanahu will help you. So anyways, this dua, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for you to ask Him. If you look at Allah Azza wa Jalla in the creation, when you keep asking a person, how does He look at you? He looks at you in a very, very what? Belittling way, right? And He hates to be asked, and that's just how Bani Adam is. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْلَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Whoever doesn't ask Allah Azza wa Jal, he becomes angry at him for not asking him. And it is expected, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, وَمَنْ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ قَرْعِ الْبَابِ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يُفْتَحْ لَهُ. Whoever is someone who continuously knocks that door, it is expected that the door is going to be opened up for him. Ibrahim ibn Mas'ud, Abi Ishaq al-Ibiri, says, وَلَازِمْ بَابَهُ قَرْعًا عَسَاهُ سَيَفْتَحُ بَابَهُ لَكِنْ قَرَعْتَ. Keep knocking on that door, because perhaps if you keep knocking, it's expected that it's opened up for you. Sometimes, subhanAllah, the moment we lose our jobs, we tend to rush to where? Job seekers allow us, right? We're straight on the phone. We go there, we're already filling up the form straight away. And there's no problem with that. It's the law of the land. You can do that, no problem. Or maybe we try, you know, rushing to asking the advice bureau. We try to set up a debt management plan straight away because of all the debts that we might have incurred on top of ourselves. We get sick. The first place that we rush to is what? The NHS or the GP. We're lining up straight away. There's no problem with that. But why, my brothers and sisters, can't we maybe take a couple of moments out and just beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raise our hands to Him. Because as I mentioned earlier, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ حَيِّيٌ كَرِيمٌ يَسْتَحِي مِنْ عَبْدِ إِذَا رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَيَّ رَدُّ مَا سَفَقَ. Allah is shy and He's generous. When His servant stretches out his hands to Allah Azza wa Jal, that He sends him back empty-handed. Maybe with one dua, He could change the fortunes of your life. But the issue is, my brothers and sisters, we've become so attached, and this is what living in the UK does to you. When everything is free, you become so attached to the creation. NHS free, money's free, housing benefits, child tax credit, makes us so connected to the creation. And the moment something happens, we're running to them again. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gifted the British government to provide for you. They are a means, and they are not the main source of provision. السبب الثامن الزواج, getting married, is a means of getting an increase in provision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's only two left, inshallah. So bear and be patient.
Why am I so skint then?
Huh?
Why am I so skint?
Are you married?
Yeah.
You need to get married again. Sometimes you find before...
I'll go home and tell her that.
Huh? I hope she's not in the women's section. Huh? Okay, don't get me into trouble, brother. Allah understand. As the wedge, getting married. Sometime before marriage, a person has all of these whispers from the shaitan that if he was to get married, his situation is going to become more worse. Or, you know, he's going to be deprived of provision and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in the Quran, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّالِحِينَ مِنْ عِبَادِكُمْ إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And get married to the female slaves from amongst you. You know, the female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. If they are poor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich in you because of the marriage. Also, that which has a similar meaning to is the Messenger of Allah when he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ. Three people, Allah Azza wa Jal has made it a right upon him to assist them. First one is al-mujahidu fi sabilillah, the one who goes out for jihad. By the way, ISIS, and that's not the, before the BBC cuts it, not the BBC, Channel 4. They always tend to twist things and, المجاهد في سبيل الله والمكاتب الذي يريد الأداء. Somebody who is maybe working as a slave for his master, and he wants to work towards freeing himself. And then the third one that was mentioned is والناكح الذي يريد العفاف. The one who wants to get married in order to safeguard his private part. He wants to keep himself chaste. Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله تعالى عنه said something very interesting. He said, عجباً, strange, is the affair of the one لمن لم يلتمس الغناء في النكاح, who doesn't seek trying to become rich through getting married. والله يقول, Allah says, إن يكونوا فقراء يغنيهم الله من فضله. If they are poor, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich them. Umar ibn Khattab finds it very strange. We find, my brothers and sisters, that the shaitan is always scaring us to do haram. He really is. Puts maybe 101 thoughts in our minds. You know, Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says something very interesting. He said, قَرَأْتُ فِي تِسْعِينَ مَوْضِعًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدَّرَ الْأَرْزَاقُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in 90 places in the Quran that He has now decreed your provision. وَذَكَرَ فِي مَوْضِعٍ وَاحِدٍ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يُخَوِّفَ أَوْلِيَاءَ. And He mentioned in one place that the shaitan, he scares the people with poverty. And that statement is, الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. The shaitan scares you with poverty and he commands you to do evil. The point of the matter is, here Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling you that He's going to provide for you. Sometimes you find that the parents might make it very, very difficult as well. If you are helping them, you're there by their side, while at the same time he has the promise of Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to help him as well. What is it that we should be fearful about? Especially now, my brothers and sisters, and excuse me for mentioning this, somebody who gets messages all the time. A lot of the time you find when the parent says no, and he's still very young, maybe 17, 18, behind closed doors, some young kids, they feel like that if he goes and impregnates her, it's maybe a quicker way of speeding up the process of getting married to this girl. Maybe it's because the Pakistani father doesn't want him to get married to an Indian sister, or the other way around, or maybe the Somali mother, because she's from a particular tribe, she goes, no, she has to be from Darot, or she has to be from a specific tribe. By the way, no offense to this specific tribe, I don't have any problems with them, but that's the first tribe that came to my mind. And then they find that it's a better way to just, maybe let me just go impregnate her, in order then to maybe protect themselves from any disgrace coming their way, they're going to get us married off. And this is the facade the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about. مَنْ أَتَاكُمْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلَقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Whoever comes to you, and you are satisfied with his religion, and also his etiquette, these were the two things that were mentioned. فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Get him married off. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. Either you do this, otherwise there will be a big facade on the face of this earth. And we see this. The corruption that's taken place, things like that. And also, you have, I remember brothers messaging me from Canada and other places, well, they're practicing. But because now the parents said, you need to have $20,000 and you need to have a degree if you want to get married to my daughter, they reverted to watching pornography. And that's how they're fulfilling their desires. This is the facade the Messenger told us about. Not in any way am I just blaming the parents. Of course, he's got responsibility as well. But it's a big fault on the parents' behalf as well. Nasir ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, رَغَبَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي التَّزْوِيجِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged them with getting married. وَأَمَرَ بِهِ الْأَحْرَارَ وَالْعَبِيدِ. And he commanded the servant who is under the authority of his master and also the one who's free to get married. وَوَعَدَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ بِالْغِنَى. And he promised them that he will enrich them and provide for them. السبب التاسع. Have I gone over the time? Huh? Very, very quickly. Point number time is التوكل على الله تعالى. Allah says in the Quran, وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. He will provide for them from where they don't expect. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And whoever puts his trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, He is sufficient for him. Also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. If only you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the same way, or the correct type of tawakkul, you have the correct type of trust and authenticity of Allah Azza wa Jal, He will provide for you the same way He provides for the bird. تَغْدُو خِمَاسًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. The bird, normally in the morning when she leaves with an empty stomach, and then she comes back with a full stomach. She has a tawakkul with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and Allah Azza wa Jalla provides for her. And Allah tells us, you have that kind of authenticity, that He's not going to forsake you. And having husnul dhan, good thought of Allah Azza wa Jalla, is from the means of Allah Azza wa Jalla looking after you. So you have good thought of Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's not going to forsake you. And through that, Allah Azza wa Jalla will provide for you and increase your provision. Also Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned that the Messenger said, مَنْ سَرَّهُ يَكُنْ أَقْوَى النَّاسِ. Whoever wishes to be from the most strongest of people, فَلْيَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Let this person now put his trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And last but not least, سِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ. Keeping good ties and relationship with your family relatives. And this is something my brothers and sisters, as time goes on, you find because of these smartphones that we have, these smartphones are meant to be connecting the family relatives from different parts of the world, right? Because it has busied us so much with Instagram, Twitter, by the way, my sheikh in Yemen used to call it Fitnagram. Twitter and Facebook, and he used to call Facebook Fiskbook, the book of transgression. pointed them out. Anyways, I know there's a lot of khair in it as well. It's like a cup. You can use that cup either for milk or for alcohol. Depends how you use it, but you find that, you know, it hasn't been the best of things for most of us. على كل The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم told us من سره وأن يبسط له في رزقه وأن ينسى له في أثره فليصل رحمه. Whoever wishes for his provision not to be increased and also his lifespan to be stretched even more. Let this person now tie the kith and the kin, keep good relationships with his family relatives. Wallahi al-Azim, my brothers and sisters, I know people who have cut off from their blood brothers and sisters because he didn't give him a long enough notification before the wedding. He was told maybe 3 weeks before the wedding that he's invited. He was unhappy with that. He wanted to be told 6 months before. And because of that, they're not speaking to one another for years. Over the most pathetic of things, you find that today, blood brothers and sisters, they've cut one another. And something that is very prevalent. I know some communities and some people, they've still got grudges of what some tribe has done. So they end up generalizing and making sweeping statements about a whole tribe back in Somalia. Because someone from that tribe done something to another individual in his tribe, he has a vendetta towards everybody in that tribe. And because of that, he doesn't speak to him. They cut one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَنْ تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. These are the people who have been cursed. They've been made to be blind and deaf. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعُ. The one who cuts his relationship with his family members, he won't enter into Al-Jannah. And a quick story to just sum it up, inshallah ta'ala, is the story of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Aisha. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, I'm sure we know the famous story of when she was accused of being a fornicatress. And from those who spread these false rumors was her uncle, the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, called Mistah ibn Uthatha. He was from those who spread these rumors, and it's mentioned in Surah An-Nur. When you look at the tafsir, and you know the only source of income that the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had, Mistah, was Abu Bakr. When he made hijrah, Abu Bakr used to spend on him, he used to give him money. He didn't have anything to live on. And when he realized that he was from those who spread these rumors, the only thing that he said was, I am not going to continue giving him money to live on. So a verse came down. وَلَا يَأْتَلِي أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ. Don't let those who have virtue and immense attitude be from those who swear that they are not going to be helping the muhajireen from the poor amongst them. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive and forget. Turn the page. Wouldn't you like Allah as well to forgive you as well? We cry out all the time, right? In the last 10 days of Ramadan. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you pardon me. You love to pardon. So pardon me. From the things that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, his Kitab al-Ta'if al-Ma'arif, he says, the direct connection now between you wanting to be forgiven, go and forgive others as well. Forgive and forget. Turn the page. Be the bigger man, as they say. Just like Abu Bakr. Wallah, if someone spread a rumor about our wives or maybe our daughters, you're going to find that the table is going to turn on him. Our jaws, not our jaws, our fist is going to be in his jaw. It's going to be problems. And we will struggle to forgive that individual. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu forgave him. Not only did he forgive him, but he carried on spending on him the same way he was before the slander was spread. So these are, my brothers and sisters, 10 points. Of course, there's many other means of getting an increase in provision, and one of them is, you know, spending charity, as the Messenger of Allah said, Hadith al-Qudsi, anfiq, unfiq alayk, spend and I will give you money as well. You see? And but we won't have time to go through all of that, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe in another sitting, we can go through it, inshallah. But guys, this is not just a Harry Potter bedtime story. Wallahi, it's not. These are practical things that we apply in our lives. And I swear by Allah, Wallahi al-Azim, your life will change. It has changed many people's lives when they started applying these things one by one in their lives. And like I said to you, I can easily get carried away. We can say it till tomorrow, I can tell you story after story. And these are real life stories of people that are just like you. Remember that brother that I told you about? He came to me and he said to me, Ustad, I've got £8,000 I need to go pick up because of a CC scam. I told him the exact same hadith. Many people came to me later on in life, maybe years later, Akhi, I remember you said that hadith. I acted upon it and Allah Azza wa Jalla gave me far more great in my life. You don't leave something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, except that He will give you that which is better. And remember that. If you don't take anything away from this lecture except that, and it's a great enough benefit statement of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. Questions? What time is Maghrib in Nawsam? Because I've got a lecture there. If anybody wants to attend, is 8 serious dangerous effects of sins. It might change the way you look at life as well when you see some of the points that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned. Whoever wants to attend.
Quarter past nine.
How long does it take to get there?
15 minutes.
Your neighbors? Huh? So if anybody has any questions quickly, inshallah ta'ala, with regards to our topic. Otherwise we'll call it a day. Everybody was tired. That was a roller coaster. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka. Jazakumullah khair, guys, for attending and listening attentively. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.